Good morning, a Wednesday morning. Joining us, Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, David.
Well, right in your readership area, the tragedy that struck Schoharie, New York, the 20 people killed in that crash, 18 in the limousine and 2 in the parking lot of the restaurant just across the street from that dangerous intersection. You have an update on some major developments in this story this morning.
The latest information when reviewing federal records, it looks like the stretch limo, this big Ford limo that was involved in this crash on Saturday, failed a federal inspection just last month. It was in early September, mainly on some brake issues. So it was cited by the Federal Motor Carrier Administration for malfunctioning indications in what's called their hydraulic braking system. And so that was on September 4th. There were other issues, apparently, that it also was cited for in that failure, but the brakes one is the one that's standing out. Federal investigators, state investigators are obviously digging deep into this case. Probably what's most distressing, actually, as part of this failure is that it turns out the company that owned this, Prestige Limo from up in Saratoga County, actually 4 out of the company's 5 vehicles failed inspections in the last 2 years. It works out to like an 80% failure rate, which is way above the national average for limo companies. So that is certainly distressing. The other development in the case now is there's increasing scrutiny on the owner of that company, a guy named Shahid Hussain. And we've been exploring more about his past. And we have a column today in which we look into how Hussain was a federal informant and a big witness in a very high profile terrorism-related case in Albany in the mid-2000s. And he was the key witness that put away a pizza shop owner into federal prison and an Albany imam in a case that the lawyers for those guys have always contended that it was the whole thing was fabricated, mainly by this gentleman. Our columnist back in the day just hammered him all the time as being one of the worst snitches he'd ever seen in his long career in journalism. So one of the lawyers for the gentleman that was convicted just unloaded yesterday about the federal government. She said to us, the FBI bears some serious responsibility for enabling this guy and letting him free. He'd been facing some serious charges. He agreed to be an informant, and he's been free ever since. His whereabouts are a little bit puzzling right now to us. His son, who operates the company here, is here and cooperating with authorities, but he himself is not here. So we continue to watch, and starting tonight and going through over the next week, we'll have more vigils and funerals for the 20 folks who lost their lives, many of whom came right from in and around Amsterdam. Very sad story.
Let me just follow up. Of course, we're waiting for some things, obviously, the full crash report and the investigative report from the NTSB, as well as toxicology reports, because we don't yet know the condition of the driver.
That's a great point. Yeah. So, I mean, part of that's the state police portion of this probe is looking at the driver in the case, the limo driver. They just have no idea whether it was possibly a medical emergency that he might have suffered or if possibly it was some kind of mechanical malfunction of the vehicle. So that's a big part of it, too. Yesterday, actually, his family issued a statement expressing their tremendous grief and sorrow about the case, especially about all the other victims. And the family issued a statement saying that this gentleman had a great heart and he never would have knowingly gotten into a car if he thought it was going to be a danger to anybody. They say that it appears to them that he was given a vehicle to drive that really was not safe for the road. Of course, they can't escape the fact at this point, unfortunately, he was driving a vehicle that he was not legally permitted to drive based on the number of individuals in the car. He had a commercial license, but only to drive a vehicle with 15 or fewer passengers, and this vehicle had 17 passengers along with him, too. So he was technically driving illegally. So they will begin to look more into that to try to figure the cause of the crash.
The investigation will continue, and we know even from the NTSB it could take up to a year before we hear.
Up to 2 years. So what federal authorities are now saying is that when they reconstruct these things, and the NTSB chairman was in town Sunday, it was that big a case. One of the things he warned is that these take a lot of time, up to 2 years to complete an investigation. And they had a team out there again yesterday working on surveilling the crash scene and taking measurements, talking to people. So it's a big project for them. As they stated the other day, the largest loss of life in a vehicle accident in America since 2009, and pretty much one of the worst since, I think, the mid-2000s. There was another case of similar magnitude, but this was on their radar very prominently early Sunday after it became apparent to them.
In 2009 was Buffalo, Culligan Air.
Yes, yep, absolutely, which was a huge case in our region, too. I remember that one. We all do, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll keep following that story for sure. We also see in the paper today a story about the boost in registered voters as this Friday deadline looms.
So our reporter, Bill Buell, took a look at the voter registration numbers leading into Friday's deadline to register to vote on Election Day, November, which is this midterm election. Normally, these midterm elections tend to not generate a whole lot of interest in terms of new voter registrations and also in turnout. But this year, with so much acrimony going on the national political stage, local Board of Elections individuals reporting that this past week, there's been a little spike in voter registrations. A couple weeks ago, they had a National Voter Registration Day. And in Schenectady County in particular, they saw quite a boost where the numbers in Democrats who were enrolling went up quite a bit. Republicans actually dipped a little bit, but the Board of Elections officials there say that they're expecting on Election Day in November this year for the voter turnout to equal or exceed what was the turnout in the presidential race in 2016 between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And they said that is highly unusual. Around the area, also similar kinds of slight increases. So this is mirroring a national trend that there's been a large increase in voter registrations in the last couple of weeks. And as I said, I think there's such a heightened political discussion going on. And so that's what it's being attributed to.
Miles Reed is the editor of the Daily Gazette. You can read this story and much, much more at dailygazette.com. And you can hear more of our conversation at wamc.org.